I'm going to go ahead and get started just because I'm going to do a little one-minute intro here and let you know who I am. Because I don't know, if when you come to a resort or a camp, you know, and somebody's doing a seminar, you kind of, if you're like me, you kind of want to get a little bit of, like, who's that guy talking to me? And so I recognize several of you from yesterday, but I'll go ahead, for those that weren't here, and let you know that I'm a pastor, been a pastor. I know the number keeps going up. I think it's 30 plus years now. I'm also a certified life coach. And the way I try to explain it to people is I'm a pastor, but I pastor in a coaching style, if that makes sense. So like what an athletic coach does for sports, I do for relationships. Does that make sense? Coaching people, come alongside. Helping see where they are, where they're stuck, where they want to go. By the way, well, I still got one or two openings for speed coaching this afternoon. Everything else is filled. But if you first come, first serve, right after the seminar, if you would like to do some speed coaching, it's half an hour. It's trusting God to meet us quickly in some area that's very specific where you're stuck or you want to move forward to some uncharted area. So please see me afterwards on that. I love coaching. But I have a family. I said yesterday, I married my wife who I met at 2 and 3 years old. She was 2, I was 3. And and so we've known each other a long time. Our families were friends. Grew up in a pastor's family. She was a missionary family, and we grew up almost like cousins. Never lived in the same city, but we knew each other, and we got together at the end of our college days. I have 4 kids. I have a son who's 33, a civil engineer in San Jose. I have a daughter who right now is traveling with her husband in France for 6 weeks. Would that be nice? And she's teaching school near San Luis Obispo. I graduated from Cal Poly. I have another daughter who, get this, she's a French major. And she, over this last year, has been in France teaching English. It makes sense if you think about it, but when you first say it, it sounds a little weird. Anyway, she's doing that, and she's going back next year. She's going to do it again. She was near Versailles. Anybody remember the Palace of Versailles? Yeah, so next year, she was there this year. Next year, she goes to a place called Grenoble, the French Alps, and that area. So that's great. My youngest son, Jeremiah, actually, I've been saying for the last year, he's 16. In fact, I said it yesterday, but today he turned 17. So I go home tonight and happy birthday and all that. And he's about cars, and he goes to a junior college, and he works at Safeway and all those good things. So I've got a family. It just so happens that I'm teaching this course or this seminar over the summer on transitions, that I'm in a transition myself. So I promise what I'm saying to you today is not just preaching at you, it's something I am living. Is that okay? Yes. Yeah, give me a little street cred, right? Yeah. Like, I've got to do this stuff. And I promise you, as I was going over my notes, I was going, yeah, okay, so how am I doing with this? Because I'm having to live this. Let's start with a word of prayer and we'll jump right in. Heavenly Father, we bless you today that you are here and that you are wanting to speak to every single one of us. That is so cool that every one of us can learn from you today. We've carved out time, so I pray that no one here will leave without something from you. God, would you open our hearts? Transitions are hard. Transitions are tricky. Transitions don't come easily. So God, as we are transitioning into life-changing areas, maybe we're anticipating one and it scares us to death. Maybe we're right in the middle of one, don't know what to do. Or we've just come through one and we're shaken. God, whatever we relate to in here today, God, would you speak to us? Would you use your words and the biblical principles from your word to move us forward? For we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so did everybody get notes? Because if you're like me, you do not, there should be notes on the back table if anybody needs them. If you're like me, when you go on, when you're on vacation, you don't want to spend your whole time writing. So I've given you the slides, and if you can take those with you, and hopefully it'll jog your memory as to what we were talking about. We're going to talk about holding your narrative during transitions. As you can see from the slide, transitions means you're between something. You're between what was firm or what was known, and you're going to something unknown. And the transition part, of course, is the tricky part, the part in between. Transitions are tricky. You can read that on your notes, because typically the stakes are high. Typically, it's not just like, you know, we're not talking about from breakfast to lunch here. We're talking about life transitions. You know, we're talking about death, we're talking about life, we're talking about health, we're talking about life stage, marriage, we're talking about jobs, careers, we're talking about, I'm between ministries right now. Guess what I can't do? I can't go back. If you retired, or once the doctor said you have cancer, you can't go back. Transitions are tricky. And, oh, if that's all there was, but there's more, like the gift that keeps giving. Change is hard. There's an old saying, everybody likes something new, but nobody likes change. Think about that for a minute. If I give, okay, so let's take the car. Or marriage, or something really, really good, or a new job. Even if I like the car, it will require me to change. If I drop the keys of a Ferrari in any of your laps, hopefully that'd be a good thing, right? You'd just like, you'd say thank you at least. And it would be like this. But do you know that most of us couldn't get it home without ruining it? I mean, it doesn't drive like a regular car. Like you have to know how to paddle shift and all this stuff. God wants to give you a miracle. My question isn't, can God give you a miracle? My question is, can you get it home without ruining it? Oh. Some of us will get that later. Anyway, now, I used to run high school track. So, you know, we heard, I didn't get the whole thing this morning over there, but I heard him talk about marathon and running and leaning over the tips of your skis and all that risky stuff, lean into it and all that. Well, I used to run relays. I also ran hurdles, but I ran relays. How many know that there's this thing called the handoff zone? That is the most vulnerable part. He talked about Olympics. That is the most vulnerable part in a race, is the handoff zone. You've got a guy standing still. He's got all year. And then you've got a guy running at him or towards him like his life depended on it. And you have boundaries. You got a boundary. You can't start too, this guy, the guy who stopped, can't start too soon. And he can't wait too long. There's a boundary here. And there's lanes. There's boundaries on both sides. You step out of the lane, automatically disqualified. And so they do what they call working on your steps. Anybody done that? Yes. So you work your steps. Why? Because it's tricky. And you work it because there's this one nanosecond where everybody is supposed to be matched up in speed, in stride, and you say, hit! And if you don't make that, have you all seen the Olympics? Yeah. Even at the Olympics, they dropped the baton. Transitions are tricky. When we're talking about transitions, this is no joke. And you're in a transition, and you're sitting here today, and you've got something, you got a doctor's report you didn't like, or even if it's a positive thing, you just got married, or you just got a boost in your a new opportunity in your career, it is tricky. Transitions are tricky. They can be positive, or they can be negative, but they will require change. I was with a lady one time. She says, Paul, her husband had died. She had been in ministry all her life. She says, she thought, I came to this church and she was at it. She says, she thought that God sent me to that church just for her. You know why? Because we would sit down and we would talk about her, what she called her new normal. Yeah. Your new normal. Her husband had passed away. Life is totally different now. What's normal? She had a new normal. If you've lost someone, hopefully you're not the one that died or you wouldn't be here, right? If you've lost someone, life, your life, is forever changed. I was just with somebody last night. Her husband had passed away, she said, 7 years ago. Life is very different now. New normal. Transitions, they can be really exciting. They can be really, really negative. Here's what I'd like you to do. To get the most out of this seminar, think about one that you are anticipating or that you're in the middle of. This will mean a lot more, so it's not just theoretical. Like someday it could possibly be. No. Think about something that you're facing. Because I believe God wants to give everybody something today before we leave. I'm setting you up for what I'm really saying, right? You can tell I'm setting you up. Is that okay? Yeah. So did the biblical characters, any biblical characters come to mind when you think about the word transition? Life transition? Moses? Did Abraham have any transition going on there? Any life transitions anybody knows about? Am I at the right place? You guys are a Bible. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Abraham, here's one of my favorites, King David. Any transitions for him? Big, life-changing, crazy transitions. He's a shepherd boy, 13, around 13, I guess the scholars say, when he gets anointed. How many know that he wasn't crowned king over all of Israel until about 30? How would you like a 17-year transition? Anybody? Where do I sign up? I think 7 months is tough. Try that. God, if you are in a transition, you know what? And this isn't for everybody, but somebody in here is going to do this, and it's going to bless you, I promise. Somebody in here needs to say, I am so discouraged. I don't know what to do. I just need some hope. I need some encouragement. Go find a biblical character. And watch how they transitioned. Look at Joseph, you know, from the pit to the palace. I mean, just pick anyone. Did Jesus go through a transition? Philippians 2, heaven to earth. Yeah, that's like a transition. Yeah. The Apostle Paul hates Christians, and now he's writing half of the New Testament. That's a pretty big transition. Transitions are around. Now, here's where we're going to start to accelerate. Everybody good? So we're going to talk about the fact that if I am going, there's the title of the seminar, if I am going to successfully navigate or maneuver through a really big life change, I am going to have to learn to hold my narrative. People that write stories and books, and I'm not a writer, but they tell me, you write a good book, you write a good movie, you don't introduce the hero, and then have the first problem, and have the hero go, psh, I am so out of here. That's a bad book. That's a bad movie. Everybody good? But what they do is they say, no, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set up that we'll introduce, she's gorgeous, he's handsome, whatever, and then we're going to give him some problems. And it's called rising action. And any good storyline has to have conflict. And there has to be something to push through and something to endure and something to conquer and all the way to the climax. And it's up and down and up. And you know, well, we know it's Hollywood, so we know that, you know, the main character probably isn't going to die. Although, isn't it weird when they do? Those are weird movies. Okay, so like imagine a Mission Impossible, you know. What's the guy's name?
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. Imagine him dying.
Ethan.
Yeah, imagine him dying halfway through and they roll the credits. I mean, so you have to have a fight. You have to have something. But here's the deal. They have to have the right mindset. They have to say, I am going to overcome. They have to be in the right, have the right frame of reference. They have to hold their storyline. They have to remember who they are. They have to remember what they're about. And guess what? I have to do that in my life transitions as well. I have to remember who I am and whose I am. Am I making sense? If I forget who I am, if I just blow it off or escape or drink myself under the table or whatever, if I lose my narrative, I'm not gonna be successful in my transition. I've got to hold that narrative. I've got to understand. I mean, just think of The Lord of the Rings or Gladiator or any of those movies, those big epic movies, they all are having the struggle to hold on to why they're here, what they're about, and what they want to accomplish. We can't. Why? Because there's always going to be difficulties. There's always going to be setbacks. There's always going to be detours, and there's always going to be adjustments. When I told you I'm in transition myself, right? So there's some big pastors and some big ministries in the Bay Area, and the first thing, of course, was to try to connect and network with some of these big pastors, and I got one of the biggest pastors in the Bay Area to agree to meet me for coffee, and I was like dancing on the chairs, and I was going, oh, I can't believe it. That's so amazing. And then sure enough, something happened in his schedule, and he says, you know, Paul, I just got to be honest with you. I just really don't have time for this right now. And he rescinded his offer. That was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
Setbacks. What I thought might be 3 months now is at least 6 months with that conversation. That setback. Because I'm not just looking to fulfill a one ad. I'm talking to pastors about creating a new ministry area. That just takes longer. Does that make sense? You're going to have this. There's going to be setbacks. If you're transitioning, if you're moving, there's going to be setbacks. If you're trying to build a home, especially at Mount Hermon, whatever you're trying to do, there's going to be things that are going to cause you to have to say, do we still want to do this? What's really going on? What am I about? What about your transition? Is it a job? Is it an empty nest? Some of you guys are transitioning into empty nests. We have a joke at our house. I told you my son's 17. Note to self, don't forget to raise Jeremiah. He's our last one. Yeah. And he's so independent, it's easy to think we're empty nesters. We're actually not, but we could think that way really easy. Does that make sense? There's things in our lives that are going to challenge us. I'm going to give you 5 things that I believe will help you with your mindset. Last thing we need is another sermon, most of us on this. What we actually need is, what can I do? Give me something I can do. How can I prepare myself for the transition that I'm in? The first thing, of course, and there's no substitute for this. I know, I've talked to hundreds of people. Everybody wants a trick. There is no substitute for this, and that is, I got to get closer to God. One of the best ways, I've been pushing this for, I started in 2000, so what's that, 18 years. I've been pushing this. I've introduced this to hundreds of people. It's just one way to stay close to God. It's called life journaling. I did this. I promise I was a Christian before 18 years ago. But this is, That was a joke. Oh. Wow. Christian for 18. I've been a pastor for 30, but a Christian for 18. No. But I promise you, this is the best thing I've ever done for my spiritual health and well-being. It's just there's a lot of plans out there. There's a reading plan. I don't even call it a reading plan. I call it a restaurant menu. Do you eat everything? When you go to the restaurant, do you eat everything on the menu?
No.
No. How about we do no guilt? Just pick today. It'll show you a bunch of things you read. Don't read them all. You'll get spiritual indigestion. Just pick something, read it, and then they give you a little way to, and we pray. Why do Christians pray? Let's not make it too hard. I pray because I believe God answers prayer. So, God, as I'm reading this, would you have something jump out at me? This doesn't sound hard yet, does it? Have something jump out at me. As I'm reading, something jumps out at me. Ooh, that's interesting. Wow, that's convicting. Ooh, that's encouraging. Whatever. It jumped out at you. Write it down. They give you a quick little way. Most of us don't have 2 hours a day to spend with God. Be nice. Yeah. So it's just blank pages.
Oh, it's and, blank.
Yeah. And they give you a little, you've all heard the acronym SOAP, Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. If you can say SOAP, you can do this. You can do it on scratch paper, but it is kind of nice to get a little book. Lifejournal.cc, if you want to order online. Lifejournals.cc. And a church that did this will be happy to send them to you. Something like that. I just need to spend time with God in prayer. I'll do a lot of coaching with a lot of people, and it'll come down many times to this issue. You know, they got some big presenting problem with the marriage or the family or the business or the career. And I'll say, so where's God in all this? And go, well, actually, I'm not feeling very close to God right now. And it turns out that's what we ended up having to, that's actually what's going to help them the most. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Got to start with your relationship with God. If you're going to hold your narrative, get close to God. In your transition, go close to God. That's not the time to relax or take a vacation from God. And do something good for your soul. Actually, John Ortberg, everybody know that name? He's up the peninsula. He's a great pastor, speaker, preacher. He's written a book called Soul Keeping right now that I am reading. I just put that up there so that you could get an idea or an example. There, I went to the bookstore this morning. Ta-da, ta-da. There are 2 copies left. You guys want to race? There are 2 copies of that book in the bookstore. I just saw them 10 minutes ago. That is one of the best books I have ever read on nourishing your soul. You are going to need soul nourishment to get through your transition. I don't care what it is, positive or negative. You're going to need soul nourishment. Anybody ever heard that book? Heard of that book before? Oh, wow, I'm in a great crowd. Okay, so, wow. Okay, 30 of you running over there. So whoever can get those first 2 copies, be sure, and just look it up on Amazon. Get it. Be sure you have something. This is the time to go deep. What are we doing? We're learning how to stay steady and hold our narrative. What are you doing to feed your soul? How are you taking care of yourself? Are you reading something that's encouraging, nourishing, stimulating, building you up in your faith? The second thing, as you can see on your handout there, is to be honest. Just to be honest. Life transitions. I had a sister-in-law who buried 2 babies at birth. Not at the same time. They got pregnant, delivered, baby died. They said, wow, that was devastating. That was horrendous. And they kind of shook themselves off and prayed to God and got some support and recovered and said, okay, well, that was weird. Let's try it again. A year later, same scenario. Give birth to the baby boy. Baby boy's dead within hours. And they buried their second they've adopted now. What I loved about her, she was a pastor's wife, my sister-in-law, and I loved what she said. She said a lot of things, but what I loved most about what she said when we were talking to her and having a deep conversation about this, she says, Paul, I am not going to pretend that this doesn't hurt. God wants somebody in here to hear that. Can we just have like a serious moment? God wants somebody to hear that if you're going through a divorce or there's a death or there's a health issue that's devastating, devastating news, or you're in chemo or whatever, let's not pretend. I go to some churches and it's like, praise Jesus. And it's like, it doesn't even matter what the issue is. And we're all putting on the face. Like, I'm happy in Jesus. And I love that she said, I'm not going to disavow my faith, but I'm not going to pretend this doesn't hurt. I'll tell you, that won more credibility in her congregation than anything else she could have said right there. Let's be honest. I'll be honest. This transition that I am in is scary, is difficult. There's the fear of the unknown, right? This same sister-in-law had an adopted son who's now working with YWAM. And you know how they send these videos. And he's just recently got engaged. And they got this cute little video of him standing on a cliff with his fiance, brand new fiance, cliff, water beneath. And they have a video of them. Somebody videoed them holding hands and doing a somersault backwards down into the water. That's what it feels like for me right now. Talk about the unknown. Talk about trusting. When I looked at that and I saw that video, I immediately went to what I could relate to, and guess what that was? My scary place. My transition. Am I making sense? Let's not pretend. Let's admit our fears. Let's face them. Let's confess our sins. Let's say, God, I just don't trust you. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I feel like I need you more. I need to come towards you. I need to come back to you. I need help. Let's face our transitions. What about you? How honest are you being about your transition? Are y'all like, you know, isn't that funny how platitudes don't work? Somebody will quote, come up to you, a well-meaning person, quote Romans 8:28 or something. That was helpful. Yeah, can I suggest we not do that? Yeah, grieve with those who grieve and rejoice with those who rejoice. Let people just say, well, how are you feeling today? And then just listen. Can we just be honest? I want you to know that God is wanting to listen to you. God cares. God understands. God is not trying to preach you off your whatever, off the ledge. God is, and I would say one of the best possible things we can do is to be honest. Number three is to stay focused. Stay focused. I don't know if you can see the facial expressions on this woman climbing this mountain, but there's a little determination there. Stay in the game. Stay focused. Don't escape, give up, have some goals. Now, not just the goal of, you know, recovery or good health or a new normal or getting a job, or a successful marriage, not just the goal of that, but here we are in a seminar talking about transitions. You can actually have goals for your transition, not just the outcome. Am I making sense? I want to become closer to God by committing to reading my Bible 5 days a week. And I'll take the weekends off. I always used to say that to my people I talked to. I said, so here's how I do that life journaling. I do Monday through Friday, and I take the weekends off. And they go, you're a pastor. The joke is, I work at a church. I get Bible all weekend. Yeah, that's not the only way I get Bible. But I want, during the week, I want to make sure that my spiritual nutrition stays up. But I have to, or if I want to lose weight, or if I want to get closer to this person, or if I want to do something, let me tell you about one of the things. I'll just give you an example. Early on, like right as I was quitting my last position, I felt like God was bringing it to an end, God gave me the idea of sabbatical. You might say I'm unemployed. You know what I'm saying? I'm on the sabbatical I never got. A lot of my pastor friends got sabbaticals in 30 years. I never got one. I'm getting my sabbatical. What's a sabbatical? A sabbatical is a time for refreshment, for renewal, for further study, to come back strong. It's a time, it's that in-between time that God wants to use in my life. How many know that that totally changes my situation? I've just reframed my whole thing. I'm not standing up here as just somebody who's unemployed. I'm standing up here as somebody who's between assignments getting a sabbatical by God. I get a sabbatical. So I've got goals for my sabbatical. What do you want to accomplish during your sabbatical? Does that make sense? You can do that in marriage. We're transitioning. What are your goals for your marriage? Let's set those. What are your goals for your health? What are your goals for your spiritual development? Go away, especially at Mount Hermon, and just write down some goals. But by the way, make them smart. Everybody knows about that? Smart goals. If you go to the corporate world, they don't want you to just say, I want to be a better Christian, or I want to be a better worker, or I want to be a... That's a nice idea, but it's not a good goal. It's not a good goal until you put what they call metrics on it. You have to put numbers on it. Don't just tell me you want to lose weight. Tell me I'm going to lose 10 pounds in this amount of time, starting on this day, because I'm going to do 5 reps of this, and 5 reps of this, and 5... And put some metrics on it. Then you can track your progress. Yes? Yes. Goals. Have goals during your transition. Transition doesn't mean throw back and just wait for something to happen. Sit on your hands, trust. You know, no. Have some goals. We're talking about holding our narrative during our transition. Are we still good?
Yes.
Okay, so what have we done? We are developing our relationship with God. We're being super honest. Not negative. That's not the same word. But we are being honest with what's really going on, and we're having goals, not just a goal to get something in the end or an outcome, but goals in the middle of your situation. If you're retiring, do you have some retirement goals? What do you want to do on Mondays? How do you want to spend your time? If you're going back and going through things, at what rate? Put some goals in place. Track your progress. Have a goal. I'm a coach. Let's get our goals on. If I was coaching you, you would come back in and we would meet every week or every other week, and I'd want to hear your goals. I want to hear how you're doing. I'd want to track you. And you would, the night before, just kidding. No. You would think about that. Because you're paying me lots of money. Yeah. So you would think about, okay, how am I doing on my goals? Yes? We're holding our narrative. You're going to hold your narrative during this transition. Number 4, expect delays and difficulties. Expect delays and difficulties. I just already mentioned about the pastor I didn't get to meet with, okay? There are going to be there are going to be things that get in your way. I do a whole course on some of this stuff. In my coaching scheme, I do a whole thing on obstacles and resistance. How many know what an obstacle is? It's something that is in your way. It is something that has to be removed. Can I just share with you that if you have something blocking you related to your transition, you've got to remove it. Obstacles aren't things that you just live with. It's not, we're talking about obstacle, like blockage. Like it is shutting you down. We're going to have to find a way. How many know what Braille is? Braille is sight for someone who's blind. Does that make sense? You've got to remove the obstacle of blindness. I can do that. Am I making sense? You have to, an obstacle is in your way. It has to be removed. What are the obstacles for you making that move or that transition or that promotion or moving forward in that difficult area of life? I've got to identify what are common obstacles? What are some common obstacles? Time. I've got to figure out that if I have no time, we can't do this. So I've got to remove that obstacle. What else?
Fear.
I've got a capital F, yeah? Like paralyzing fear. I can't move. I have to remove that obstacle or I can't even get started. Am I making sense? I've got to find a way to remove the obstacles. Now, once I've removed the obstacles, I'm not done. Guess what? I still have resistance. What's the problem with most people, you know, in New Year's resolutions? Right? I'm going to go to the gym. I go to the gym. I go to the gym 3 times a week. Guess what? It's a lot different now than it was in January, the number of people. Yeah, they give it about 3 weeks usually. Falls way off. Why? Resistance. If you're into all this, you can write this word down. There's internal and external sabotage. I don't know if I put that. No, I didn't put that. Yeah. We have internal things that are causing us to resist. That's the wake up and hit snooze. That's resistance. I'm supposed to be going to the gym. It's 5:30. I got to be down at the gym at 6. But it's 5:30, the alarm goes off, and I hit snooze. That's resistance, unless it's planned. But it's, you know, whatever. There's this tendency to roll over and go back to sleep. It could be external resistance. Somebody saying, oh, it doesn't matter. You don't need to go to bed yet. You can stay up late. Or it doesn't matter. Have another bowl of ice cream or whatever. I mean, there can be external sabotage as well. There's going to be resistance. Resistance has to be overcome. Obstacles have to be removed, but resistance has to be overcome. Overcome evil with good, all that. You have to find. How many, I'm not going to make you cop to it, but how many can relate to the idea of procrastination? Don't raise your hand. Some people in the room just got the concept. That's resistance. Yeah. So like when I'm working with couples, I'll tell them to front load. In fact, I'm doing this with my 17-year-old son. He goes to college. How many know that you're blurry-eyed after the first day? They tell you all the things you're going to have to do for that semester. Remember those days? Yeah. It's like that'll never, ever happen. And so what we do, we come home, we talk about front loading. Give yourself a fictitious date 2 weeks before that thing's actually due. Let's get on it. Let's get on it early. Why? Because if you procrastinate, if you keep pushing it off, it's going to be one of those late night wonders. all-nighters, and it's not gonna go well. The idea is I've got to overcome that resistance. We talked about capital F. How about small f? You know, I'm just afraid he's not gonna like me, or it's not gonna go well, or I'm resistant. I don't like public speaking. It's inconvenient. I have to overcome any kind of resistance. What is the resistance you need to overcome in your transition? That's your question for the day. Every one of us has something that will, and here's the deal. An obstacle will block you from your goal. Resistance will just sort of sap your strength. You might eventually get there. It's like a car getting across the finish line with all the tires flat. I mean, you get there, but it's a really rough ride, and it's really bad, and it's not very fun. Why? Because the resistance has taken all the energy out of it. Yes? So let's go on to number five. Number five. Again, we're trying to hold our narrative. I have to have a companion. I have to have a trusted friend. I have to have someone that I can process this with. Remember I told you about the lady who thought God sent me to that church just for her? Do you have somebody in your life that you can talk to about this transition that you're in or that you're about to go into? Are you talking to someone that you trust? Someone that you trust financially or spiritually or whatever way to process this with. Everybody needs to be in a small group, cell group. I heard a great story. I think it's these guys from Visalia. I heard a great story today about their whole group coming together. They've been coming together for years. Oh my goodness. And they just love hanging out, and they just love being together, and they feel like family. Guess what? If you're in a large church and you're waiting for the senior pastor to come see you, good luck with that one. There's this famous story about Jack Hayford, great senior pastor of a great large church, Van Nuys, and the way the story goes. Is he met this guy in the men's restroom of all places, and they started chatting, and Pastor Jack Hayford was just like all about how are you doing and just really getting to know this guy, and here's this senior pastor of this really large church, and here's this nobody, they just happened to meet in the restroom, but the guy was just amazed that, you know, this senior pastor was so caring and so like wanted to engage and all that. And it's like, wow, this is amazing. Until the guy told Jack Hayford that he was in a small group. And the guy said it was like you could see a switch. Not because Jack Hayford didn't care anymore, but because Jack Hayford knew this guy was taken care of. It's like, you're good. It wasn't like, I got to stay engaged. Okay, and now what? No, you're good. Why? Because you're in a small group. Isn't that a cool thing? We need to stay engaged with people and make sure they're in a place where they have a place to process. If you don't have, I've got some good friends who are in my life that I can say what I need to say when I need to say it, and I can process what I'm going through. Do you have that person? You don't need a million of those. One or two, three, max. I mean, you don't need everybody, but somebody that you can go through it. I believe that there's somebody in here, in this room right now, who is going through a transition and you're trying to do it by yourself and it's not working. I don't know who you are, but God knows who you are. You're just saying, I'm a good Christian, or I can do this, or whatever. We've all done that. don't. I hope this seminar comes back and haunts you. Do I have a friend? I need a friend. A phone call. I need, phone a friend. I need to make sure this is not rocket science, is it? If I have lost my spouse, I better not be alone. If you just got promoted, like to the dream job, you better not be alone. If you just got married, oh, it's so fun. One of my jobs is to coach young couples. That's the most powerful place, I think, strategic place I could ever be in my life, is to coach them. Why? They've got their whole life ahead of them. They don't have to make the mistakes and then come back 20 years later and say, wow, we're all busted up. No, let's get it on the front end. If you just got married, I always tell couples, if you're going to get married, you need to take driver's ed for marriage. Yeah. Premarital counseling, everybody, yeah. If you've been married for like more than 3 weeks, you need to change the oil on your marriage. I just spoke to somebody. When's the last time you've been to taking a marriage course? When's the last time you read a marriage book together? When have you changed the oil on your, when was the last time you changed the oil in your marriage? I feel like picking on people, but I won't. Okay, so it's so fun to stand up here and read your faces. And I just think, yeah, let's do that. Every guy in the room, it's not usually the marriage seminars, it's not like the guy thing. But as soon as I say change the oil in your marriage, every guy in the room gets it. I'm done. They got it. I don't have to talk them into anything. They understand that if they got their truck, they're not going to just drive it until it's in the ditch and never change the oil. We're going to keep it running. Take care of it. Oh, take care of the marriage like that. Got it. Why? Because God wants to give you a happy ending. How many know that every good movie, every good book has a happy ending? So my daughter came back from France, and she said, oh, let's watch a French film. So we watched a French film. Not a happy ending. I don't know if you know, they're notorious for, like, wait, it ended? She just walked around the corner of the building, and it ended? Fade to black? What? God likes happy endings. Now, whether it's a new, and whether the happy ending is this side of heaven or the other side, this side of life, this side of heaven, or the other side of life, it doesn't, we could debate that, we could debate all that, but it is going to be a happy ending if we hold our narrative and continue with God. And look what, it doesn't make any sense. How many have heard this? Everybody's going to come to heaven and meet at the pearly gates. And what's the words out of Jesus' mouth? What's the ones that every preacher has said forever, forever, forever? What's the first words out of his mouth? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've all heard that. Do you know that that makes no sense? Is that how you enter, you know, when people come to your house? Well done, though. No. Is that how you greet each other? Here's the hot tip. The only way that statement makes any sense at all is if you have been given an assignment first. We are all on assignment. And we carry our assignment through our life transitions. Whatever they are, wherever they are, however they are, we are on assignment. That's the God-honest truth. No smoke. so that when we get to heaven, it's not going to be like whatever pops out of Jesus' mouth. It's going to be, well done, the good and faithful servant. Why? Because we've completed our assignment. God has us here on the earth for a purpose, and I promise it's not about you. It's about Him. We are on assignment to be all that God means us to be, and I know you all have heard this, but this is so important. We're just going to take the big old highlighter out and highlight this thing and remind ourselves that when we get to the end, talk about our transition, and we go to glory. We want to stand before God. Don't you want to stand before God? I mean, there's a lot of things He could say. Like if Jesus says the first words out of His mouth to you are, hey, do we know each other? That's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. Well done. Well done. You made it through this transition. You made it through your assignment. How I wanted you to live on the earth. Yes, there were troubles. Yes, there were problems. Yes, there were promotions. Yes, there were demotions. Yes, you had a job. No, you didn't have a job. Yes, you were healthy. Yes, you were sick. But well done. Well done. Everybody in this room needs to hear that. Well done. Why? Because we've been given an assignment, and we're going to have to hold our narrative. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Can I pray for you?
Yes.
Father, I just thank you so much that as we come to this powerful conclusion that we understand that whatever we're going through comes to this ultimate conclusion of meeting you. And the climax isn't even here always in our own life. We might have some wins here, but the ultimate climax is meeting you and standing before you and hearing, well done. God, we want to do well through whatever we're going through, the tricky transitions that we're in our life and job and home and school and in health and relationships. God, we'll do it in such a way that we hear, well done from you. Why? Because we've been able to hold our narrative through those things. God, would you help every single one of us? Would you give every single one of us something to walk away with today that is from you? And we pray, God, that you would walk with us as we go through our life and go through any and every transition, for we pray it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for coming. God bless you guys.